Okay, let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 18, Lord willing. 1 John 4, 18. Amen. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love does what? Casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Looking tonight at number one, a perfect love. A perfect love. How much like Jesus are we, really? He has this perfect love. Well, we're not to love the old things of this world, the material things. If you look over at chapter 2 there, 1 John chapter 2, and verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the what? The things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world, what? Passeth away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. So we're not to love the things of this world, and neither are we to have the same type of love that the world has, because it's a very imperfect love. And I was just thinking about, ponder about God's love. Do you realize Jesus never gets up in the morning grumpy? Part of the reason is because he never gets up. He always is up. Okay, that's part of the reason. Let's look at Psalm 121. Psalm chapter 121. No one has ever seen Jesus in a grumpy mood. Psalm 121 and verse 1. The Bible says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not, what? Slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither, what? Slumber nor sleep. So part of the reason Jesus never gets up or he doesn't get up, he always is up, and he's always in a good mood because his love is perfect. Slumber means to sleep lightly or to doze. Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. So I'd have to confess sometimes I get sleepy, and have you ever been talking to someone and their eyes start blinking more and more, and then when the eyelids were closed, they stayed closed longer and longer, and you can end up talking to someone whose eyes are closed, and I have to confess I've been guilty of that too. Sometimes we get weary. In fact, I must be good at making people sleepy, because every time I talk to Brother Matichera, he always starts yawning on the phone. So, I don't know. I tell him, sometimes he has trouble going to sleep. So, I say, Brother Matichera, you just need to call me. I'll put you to sleep by talking. He's never tried that yet, but maybe he will. So, part of the trouble is we get tired in these old bodies of flesh. And that was Peter and the disciples' problem. Notice in Matthew 26, it was a very serious time. Jesus ask his closest three disciples, apostles, to go with him and pray. And, of course, they failed to stay awake, just like we do sometimes. Matthew 26:36. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Now, wouldn't it be sad if sometime someone asked us to pray and watch with them, someone right on their deathbed, and suppose we fell asleep, and when we woke up, they were dead. That would be sad, wouldn't it? There have been times when we've been called to the hospital, in different situations, and on in late into the night. But the Lord has always given the grace so far not to fall asleep. But the guys here, they just couldn't stay awake. Verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them," what? "Asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour?" Because he was the one, you know, that was so, I don't know if I'd say forcefully or boastfully, but he is the one the quickest to say, you know, hey, I'll go with you to death. Well, verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them," what? "Asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them," what? "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Well, they were sleeping physically, but spiritually too, they needed to pray in that hour. So his most trusted disciples could not stay awake. They fell asleep. And aren't you glad in our hours of serious need, aren't you glad that Jesus isn't dozing or sleeping? He's not weary. I know in the flesh, Jesus was weary and sat on the well at noon, but Jesus, the Son of God, is not weary. Notice in Isaiah 40, in verse 28, when Jesus walked on the earth, his real body of flesh got weary, but Jesus, God in the flesh. Isaiah 40, verse 28. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth," what? "Fainteth not, neither is," what? "Weary." There is no searching of his understanding. "He giveth power to" who? "The faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that" what? "Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." So aren't you glad that in our hour of need, that Jesus is there? He's not slumbering. He's not sleeping. He's awake. And has the strength to help us. So a perfect love. We looked at number one, Jesus never gets up in a grumpy mood. Number two, Jesus never gets tired of hearing our detailed request. Now, people are different. Some people talk in great detail, and other people talk in great generalities. It's just different people's personality. I remember our pastor in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He said there was a time when he was with John R. Rice. He was down from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and he was an evangelist. And so they happened to be speaking in the same meeting somewhere, and so they shared a motel room. And so Brother Rice asked Brother Robertson, "Would you like to pray together before we go to bed?" He said, "Sure." And so Brother Rice prayed, and he 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 prayed. And then when he was finally done, he asked Brother Robertson, "Would you like to pray?" And he said, "No, thank you." Some people just pray in great detail, and that's fine. Sometimes when you're praying with other people, you've got to give them a little chance to pray. Amen. So some people are great details, some are not. But notice in Philippians chapter 4, probably somewhere along the line, if we get too detailed, we're going to lose people. They're just flesh. They can only soak in so many details. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be careful for what? Nothing. But in what? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let what? Your request be made known unto God." Can you imagine telling someone else that and being sincere? Hey, tell me in detail. Be careful for nothing. I mean, just tell me every need on your heart. Let me know what it is. Would you know what you're putting yourself into? I mean, it could take a long time. But that's what God says. Every detail upon your heart, bring it to me. He doesn't tire. He won't tire of hearing what's on your heart. And then in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So that's pretty amazing when you think about it. God's love is so perfect. He really does want to know. I mean, sometimes we say to people, "How are you doing?" And if they really tell us in too long and too much detail, you probably think, "Why did I ever ask how you're doing?" You know? But God has a perfect love. He really does want to know how we're doing and what we need. Sometimes, I try to write our missionaries a couple times a week and just ask them, just tell them we're praying for you, and do you have any prayer requests? And when they give them to me, then I try to share them with you. Very rarely will any of our missionaries say, "How can I pray for you?" I had one of our missionaries do that, I don't know, maybe a few weeks, maybe it's been a few longer than that ago, but I thought, that's different. There's somebody that really wants to pray for us as well. So that was a blessing. That's what God wants us to be like. Notice 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. "Casting what? All your care upon him, for he what? Careth for you." Can you imagine saying that to someone? "Cast all your cares upon me. I want to listen. I want to help. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And he really does mean it. And number three, we're thinking of love, a perfect love. Number three, Jesus never holds a grudge and always forgives us when we ask him. He never holds a grudge, but always forgives us when we ask him. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1, 9. "If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And you know, we are commanded to forgive based upon this same love, this perfect love. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. How perfect is our love? I'm afraid it's really lacking, isn't it? Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not who? The Holy Spirit of God. Now, that's going to be important as we continue to read these verses here. What might grieve him? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be what? Put away from you with all malice, and be ye what? Kind one to another. And then what? Tender heart. You know, at this point is really, I think, one of the big tests. Are we really forgiving of someone? Are we tender-hearted? In other words, when they have wronged us, are we so willing to put ourselves in their shoes and realize, you know, if this was reversed right now, I would feel so bad if I'd wronged someone in this way? That really kind of is a barometer, whichever, to maybe to test what our spiritual pressure is, okay? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as who? God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven you. Do we really forgive people, according to this, like Christ has forgiven us? You know, because wickedness abounds, and it sure is abounding right now, the Bible tells us that people's love waxes cold. Notice in Matthew 24 and verse 12. And this is true. You just see the hatred right now. Matthew 24:12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. But you know, we have to pray and have a tender heart toward God, because, you know, as iniquity abounds, this applies to us too. It's so easy. You know, when I was a boy, if you saw someone walking along the road, normally you'd stop and pick them up. It's dangerous now, isn't it? You never know now. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold. Now you wouldn't tell someone to stop. And of course, now, even when someone is stopped in their car having car trouble, most of the time they have a cell phone. And a lot of times it's like, you know, I've already called, you know, so thanks, but people don't really hardly want to roll their windows down because iniquity abounds. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. So he gives us a chance to show God's love in this time. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in what? Love. But what? Perfect love casteth out fear. You realize tonight how many people are afraid of all kinds of things. People are afraid of the dark. People are afraid of the economy. People are afraid of decisions. People are afraid of war. The Bible tells here that perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath what? Torment. I wonder how many people are troubled, tormented, because they don't have this perfect love. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We live in a world of fear. And if we could back up to verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of what? Judgment. What is this? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. What is there about our love right now that we are showing or not showing? But if we do show it, that will give us boldness in the day of judgment. And then it says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Are we showing such a perfect love, such a forgiving love, that people around us would not be in fear or torment because they realize our love is genuine? Do people in this world really wonder about us if we're just, if we're just putting on a facade, you know, or if we really do care. You know, it's easy when you're out witnessing to look at a face at a door and not really see the person as a soul. I was at the chiropractor this week, and a guy came out of the chiropractor's office, and he was wearing all black, and he had like writing on his coat, and it was like Japanese style font. And on the back of his coat, then when he's getting in his car, I saw his back, and it was like swear words in this Japanese writing. So at a first glance, you wouldn't notice maybe even what it said because of the, I don't know if you've ever seen a Japanese font on your computer, but if you looked at it, it's, oh, that was terrible. And so I said to my wife, I said, the chiropractor is a professing Christian, and I thought, what would it be like working on someone laying on their face on that, whatever you call it, the chiropractor's bench, whatever, table, reading that. I don't know what you'd want to do. Maybe you'd want to twist his arm behind his back and say, take it back, you know, or take it off, take that coat off. Yeah, I don't know. It must be frustrating anyway, someone coming in to the office like that, but it's a day of great wickedness and boldness. But let's look at Mark 13, Mark chapter 13. What do people see in us? Mark 13, verse 12. Now the brother shall what? Betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to what? Be put to death. That is what's coming on this world. That is what is coming. It's an age where people wonder who to trust. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 here. 1 John 4, 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I wonder if we will. Well, it'll depend on what our love is like. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We have the opportunity to show forth his perfect love. Are we doing it? You know, when we stand before God, you stop and think about it. You know, Christ is your Savior. Are you thinking that when you stand before God, it's going to be a tense, fearful time? And I mean, I want to say it carefully, because when we stand before God, we're going to be like every person in the old prophet in the Old Testament who's on their face when we see God in all his glory. So I understand that. But I mean, as you think about, as a Christian standing before God, are you thinking about danger? Or are you thinking that's going to be a time of torment? No. No, you think about love. You think about glory to see the Lord. Notice with me in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 37. John 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will what? In no wise cast out. So no, as a Christian, we're not trembling that day about that day and in torment wondering, I wonder if I'm going to be accepted or not. We already know we're accepted in the Beloved because of the blood of Christ. Back in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. So we're not afraid when we stand before him that He's going to cast us out and we're going to be cast into hell. We're not afraid of that because we've trusted in his righteousness and his blood. His love is what we think about. And then in chapter 4, 17, 1 John 4, 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So it's possible to have boldness in that day, not in ourselves, but in his love, which we've allowed to work through us, if indeed that's the case. So when we stand before God, we're not afraid of him holding a grudge against us. We're not afraid of him bringing up any of our past sin. We know those are all under the blood. So in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I just read this week, and I don't know when this took place, but it said Bill and Melinda Gates are getting a divorce. And you think, well, number one, you think at that age, and I forget how long they've been married, but it's been a while, and I'm just thinking, What is going on? Why? It just shows you that fame and money and things doesn't necessarily hold a couple together at all. Evidently, there's something about the love. There's a problem. But verse 18, there's no fear in love. We're talking about God's love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. So no, you know, it's not like the Muslims. The Muslims cannot picture their God as a loving God. They only know wrath. And when Muslims get saved, it's quite an amazing thing to them to realize that God loves them, that he really loves them. You know, people in hell are going to experience torment for two reasons. Number one, because of the flames. Look at Luke 16. Lost people in hell are going to experience torment for at least two reasons. Number one, because of the flames. Luke 16, 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried in where? In hell. He lift up his eyes, being in what? Torments. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented. Tormented in what? This flame. So one reason people in hell are going to experience torment, because they're going to be in flames. But there's another aspect too. 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 8. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that what? Know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from what? The presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So then if you go back to 1 John 4:18, but this is what we have. So in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath what? Torment. So people in hell are going to experience this torment. they're not going to experience the love of God. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 9, which we just read, they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. And here it's telling us in verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. What kind of love do we have? Well, that's a question that we need to ask. Do we have the same love for God that he has for us? Would others ever fear that we would forsake them? You know, I've told you about Bill and Melinda Gates. I don't know any more about them than that. I don't know what brought it on. I have no idea. But do you think either one of them had that fear somewhere in the back of their minds that someday that might happen? I don't know. But in this day and age, how genuine is our love? And how perfect is our love? Or how worldly is our love? Aren't you thankful that when we get saved, that God doesn't come back to us every once in a while and say, you know what, I remember what you did. You know, bring up our sin. Aren't you glad that God never brings up our sin? And that throughout eternity, you know, you get 1,000 years into heaven, 10,000 years into heaven. Aren't you glad that sitting around in heaven, don't you rest in the fact that God is never going to bring up, hey, do you remember back there on earth that one time when you did this and embarrass you in front of, you know, everybody? Aren't you glad we're not going to have to face that, bringing our sins back up and throwing them at us in our face? How perfect is our love? That's really something to work on, isn't it? How perfect really is our love? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do have a perfect love for us. We thank you that you first loved us. It's not that we had to come and beg you and beg you and beg you to love us and to save us. You are the one that first loved us. We thank you for that. And we thank you that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never to bring up our sin again. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, do we bring up other people's sins and throw them back in their face when we're angry? Lord, if we do that, then our love needs some more perfecting, doesn't it? Lord, I pray that you would help us to truly love others as you love us. And we know the world is so doubtful of everyone and everything. And we know that in the latter days here, that fact is going to get worse. And people are going to be more distrusting than ever. And so, Father, please work in our hearts that people might see your love and your light through us. I pray, Lord, as we talked about Sunday, that truly the kingdom of God would be within us, that people could see that you are on the throne of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.